Good morning again.
Good morning.
All right. Take a minute to look at this picture. This picture was taken by a police officer in Baltimore. Normally, this police officer in Baltimore, when he is doing his thing, pays attention especially to the homeless who are sleeping in the area that he patrols. It's very common, his name's, Eric Gaines. Very common for people from time to time while the homeless people are sleeping on the ground, wherever they might find a place or warmth sometimes over a grate or whatever. Yeah, he said that a lot of times people will actually come up to homeless people who are asleep and that they will start patting down their pockets to see if there's anything in their pockets. Now, some might do that because they want to find out who the person is, or I mean, then some people may have, you know, bad intentions. But whenever he saw this young man, initially he thought that this young man was perhaps one of those. So he watched very closely. But when the young man walked up to the person, instead of what he thought he was going to do, the young man instead very carefully bent down, put his hand on the man's foot very gently, and began to pray. And immediately, he took the picture. Now, I don't know if some of you have seen that maybe somewhere else virally if you're on social media. I never saw it, but it sets the stage for what we're going to talk about this morning. I want to look at Acts chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 10. I encourage you, if you've got your Bible, go there. Maybe you would be more familiar looking in your Bible than looking up on the screen. We're looking at a story that challenges us, if we're honest. You have to keep it all in context. This is after Pentecost. This is after Peter's first message where thousands of people responded. And then it seemed like the whole community in Jerusalem, among the Jews, began to exponentially transform into something different than it was before. And then we come to this event. It says there, one day, Peter and John, two of the disciples, two of Jesus' inner circle of the three, were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. And at 3 p.m, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. There was this gate to the temple, and it had been designated by the people as the one that was more ornate, more beautiful to look at, and so it was called the Beautiful Gate, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now there's a couple of things that today I want us to pay attention to, and hopefully you've got your little notes page, and if you're one of those that likes to fill in the blanks, you can kind of follow along with us as we go through this. The first thing is we look at this event that we learn and that we need to apply is that, first of all, we need to understand that God places people in our way, in our path, for a reason. Okay? It's not a mistake. It's not an accident. It's not something that's just happenstance. Although we can look at it that way, people in the world certainly do, but there are many, many things that if we look at how God has orchestrated events and people, that we'll find that many times when we come across people, it was not by a mistake. You've had, if we're honest, each one of us have had one of those, at least one of those events, where we see somebody, we meet somebody, we come across somebody, and we realize sometimes when we're walking away or sometimes months or years later, we realize that there was no mistake in that event. There was no mistake in that time when we came across that person. Now, the fact of the matter is, even though we know those things do take place and have taken place in our lives, it seems like a lot of times we don't get it when it's there. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we are ready. We're locked and loaded. We're ready to listen. We're ready to see what's going on in the situation and what's happening in the person's life. And we respond and we engage the right way. But there are a lot of times where we're either in a hurry or we're distracted. And instead of being in the moment, we miss it. The good news in this story was Peter and John, as they were going to pray, and this man is here at the gate, they knew what he was there for because he was there every day. And there were others like him. You may have encountered someone very much like this man somewhere. I'll never forget when I was 18. Family went to Europe. Mom took us, cashed in all her teacher's retirement and took the whole family to Europe. I'll never forget being in Rome, because all along the road in Rome, there are people who were crippled, who were beggars, who were asking for alms, whatever you want to call it, all along the road everywhere. And I remember personally how uncomfortable I was with that. Number one, I didn't know the language. Number two, the people that were there were so needy and so destitute, there was no way that I could do anything to really change their situation. And honestly, it frightened me and it overwhelmed me. The reality is, a lot of times, the people that get into our lives that have great needs, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, those people got there because of somebody sometimes that God used even though they were not necessarily believers. Sometimes there are people that God brings into our life and it's actually somebody who does not know Jesus that actually gets them into our lives so that then we can interact with them in a way that God wants to use. So that's the next blank. Sometimes it's not even a believer that God uses for that to happen. So let's not whitewash everything and think all this has to be so neat and clean and pristine in the way that we think God ought to do it. Sometimes He even uses people who don't know Him to get people who need to know Him in the right place at the right time. God's very creative. So one thing we need to realize is that as we go through our day, even if we're not doing spiritual stuff, the reality is God is working. And He was working here in this situation. Second point. People have real needs that they can't meet. There are people, and sometimes we are those people, where we will have a real need and there is no way we can meet it. It is not happening. Whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, we're overwhelmed. And then there were a lot of people that we encounter that God brings into our lives. They're overwhelmed and there is no way they're going to be able to solve their situation. They cannot pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. It is not going to happen. And to have that attitude is just wrong. And we're the ones that need to deal with that. Because we're wrong when we have that attitude. So the fact of the matter is, that beggar, he had a need that he could not meet. He had to have people take him there so that he could ask for money every day. And the only thing he could do would hope that somebody would give him something every single day. He was eschewed by the culture. Okay? The man was lame. Okay? He couldn't do anything to add to the economics of the surroundings. So what do? They pretty much cast those people out, and the only thing they could do was beg. That was it. No one was going to look at this man beside throwing money in whatever he had to collect it. So the reality is, there are people that you and I still encounter that have real needs and they can't meet them. Guess what? The next point's also true. People have real needs that we can't meet. There are people who have needs, and even though God puts them in our path, truthfully, if we're honest, we don't have the resources, whether it's financial, emotional, spiritual sometimes, to be able to do what that person needs to have done. It's not within us. We don't have it. And it embarrasses us. So what do we do when we're embarrassed? We sort of act like, you remember that story that Jesus told about the three guys that passed the man that had been beaten up by the robbers on the road to Jericho? It helps me understand that Levite and that rabbi a little bit better whenever I remember the context. They saw a guy. I always get real judgmental sometimes when I hear that story, and I start to think, well, they should have just walked over there and helped the guy. But whenever I think about it, and I'm honest about it, they saw one of those situations where they felt like they were overwhelmed, perhaps. And for whatever reasons, Jesus was telling the story that they just went to the other side of the road and walked by. Because there are needs that we can't meet, and we get overwhelmed whenever we engage those people. Now, right now, this is sounding kind of messy, isn't it? Guess what? Life's messy. But there is other news. We're going to get there. Number four. You and I should not worry. Don't worry about what we, what, do not have. We should not focus on what we do not have. We do not have the resources. We don't have enough money to help everyone out of poverty. It isn't happening. We don't. Now, that doesn't excuse us when God moves our hearts to do something. When He provides us with an opportunity that we know, I do have this. I can do this. Now, the thing that frightens us is that need is so deep and so great that I can't satisfy it. But if we'll do what God tells us to do, we don't need to worry about that worry or that fear or that embarrassment. If we'll just do what He tells us we should do. And you know the truth is, if it's all about money, money rarely solves anything for long. One of my best buddies in high school, his uncle passed away, left him $80,000. Didn't go well. That money was in at least one, maybe two brand new cars. Both those cars were totaled, and that $80,000 was gone within, if I remember, about 6 months. You don't give a 16-year-old $80,000 to spend at will. Okay? Just because you got money doesn't solve the problem. Okay? Anybody, even you and me, okay, just giving me money is not going to solve my problems. And there are people that have such deep needs that they're just looking for, they'll think easily that money will solve the problem. because they have nothing else that they are aware of that really can solve the problem. But it never solves the problem for long, ever. So, number five. We simply need to share what? What we do have. We can't share what we don't have, but we can share what we do have. Peter and John, when they came to the man at the gate, said, "We don't have money." Now, the fact of the matter is, all of us sitting here, we got something. We may not have a lot of money, but we got something. Sometimes it is money. Sometimes it's a shirt off our back. Sometimes it's giving people a ride. Sometimes it's time. But we have something. In fact, we have an important something, many of us. What is that something? We have touch. We have compassion. We have ourselves. Peter and John, what do? They stopped. They looked at the man. Everybody else is ignoring the man. They looked the man in the eyes and said, "Look at us. Look at us." Because they were looking at him. Touch, compassion, ourselves. Acknowledgement and attention. No one was paying any attention to this man. But we have touch. We have compassion. We have ourselves that we can give to these people. Attention, acknowledgement, the power of God. Next one, John, the truth. That's what Peter and John shared. "I don't have gold, I don't have silver, but what I've got, I'm going to pray right now. In Jesus' name, get up and walk." They grabbed his hand and he stood up and walked. We do have, when we have been with, everybody understood these guys have been with Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. Most of us sitting here today do not understand what it means to hang out with Jesus. Because if we did, when we get these events, these encounters, there would be a lot more stuff going on. I don't know about you, but I want to be Jesus. I want to be with Jesus like that so I can be Jesus like that. Now, I don't want to be stupid enough to think that it's going to be on demand, because that's not the way God works. But I do want to see God at work. I want to see remarkable things happening, and I want to see it not to be anything that anybody can explain away. Whenever this happened and John and Peter prayed for this man and he stood up and he went into the temple, it sent shockwaves through the Jewish culture because they couldn't explain how this thing had happened. It didn't make sense in their paradigm. And there's a world all around us, and sometimes within us, we don't get it either, because it can happen right here and we don't see it. What's Ryan's gal's name? Nancy, which I should remember. Nancy. She doesn't have cancer, right? They thought she had cancer. They had diagnosed her with cancer. She doesn't have cancer anymore. We prayed for that person. Why do we not talk about this stuff? Why do we not celebrate this stuff? When God shows up, we need to make sure He gets the credit. Now, we said it, okay, I'm not saying we said it. It's just, it doesn't get in here or here. We have the power of God. We have the truth. Even if we don't have a bunch of stuff. But listen, I'm going to go back to what I said a while ago. The truth is, there are times where God tells us to take the shoes off our feet and give it to somebody. He tells us to share what we have. And we need to be those people who are with Jesus enough to know when He's telling us it's time. This is what you do today. Or that we're that young man walking on the street and we see the man on the ground and we very gently, lovingly go put our hand on the man and we don't know what God's going to do with that. But we pray because that's what God's told us to do. Number six. The Jesus we know can meet their needs. Now listen to me. You don't have to know everything for the Jesus that you do know to do something through you. You don't have to be a biblical scholar. You just have to know that Jesus was raised from the dead. Have faith in Him. And know that He's big enough to take care of whatever that is in the way that He needs to take care of it. He can do something about it. Whatever it is. Again, it's not on my timetable. And it's not according to my plans. But that's not what I'm responsible for. That's not what we're responsible for. All we're responsible for is to do what God tells us to do. What He shows us. Number seven. When we let Jesus out, or when we let Jesus in, because He's got to be in before He can go out. And I'm talking about us. When we do, amazing things happen. Sometimes it's miraculous stuff, like somebody doesn't have cancer who got diagnosed with cancer. Sometimes it's somebody's heart changes, where it was cold, it becomes warm. Sometimes it's people do things for reasons they don't understand. And they honor God. They don't know why they do it. They just do it. But when we let Jesus out, that's the time when God does stuff that's bigger than us. That's another one of those things. Dusty was invoking Henry Blackaby a little bit earlier. His study, Experiencing God. One of the things that Blackaby talks about is that you have to let God do God-sized things. And if you're always just doing things that you can accomplish in your own strength and your own power with your own wisdom, how can anybody ever see God? How can anybody give God glory if everything you attempt is man-sized? We ought to be seeing God-sized things happen. So when we let Jesus out, because we know He's in, that's when amazing stuff happens. Another writer calls these things power encounters. If we're too afraid to let Jesus out, there will be no power encounter. If we're worried about being embarrassed, if we just won't take the risk, there won't be power encounter. But the fact of the matter is, we have got to let Jesus be with us so that when the encounters come, He can come out of us. I believe that's what the whole idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit is all about. What happens whenever you squeeze a sponge? What happens if there's no water in the sponge, what happens? Nothing. Okay, but if you squeeze a sponge that's soaking, then you got water that gets squeezed out of it, right? Well, you and me need to be wet sponges because we're going to get squeezed. Okay, we're all going to get squeezed. We just need to make sure that whenever we get squeezed and the time comes, that what comes out is Jesus. I'm going to finish with an example. Once upon a time, Terry and Jason let us borrow a movie. I think we finally gave it back to you. We used it in life group once. It was about the life story of Mother Teresa. Remember that one now? What we all know of Mother Teresa is sort of a two-dimensional picture of a woman who was self-sacrificing, who spoke with great power and authority. And what we don't know is that she went through great periods of depression and doubt and frustration and even anger, because she kept butting heads up with the world. And she didn't see the power of God a lot of time. But who do we see? Who do we talk about? We talk about a woman who changed the lives of countless orphans. We talk about a woman who took institutions to shame because they would not acknowledge what was going on there in India. She took religious factions and shamed them because they were fighting with one another, and she could care less about the fighting and the, in, you know, the friction and everything going on in India. She just wanted to take care of people. We could do a lot worse. But we have to remember, it doesn't mean that every struggle and every strain and every problem goes away. It doesn't. It's squeezing. But whenever we go by our temple gate, or whenever we walk into wherever we work, or we go into whatever grocery store we go into, or Walmart, and we see that person, or we encounter that person, and we realize this is the moment. It may be just you finding somebody that you know, and you know their wife's got cancer, and you have this conversation with them, and you say, let's pray. That may be it. Or some other amazing thing may happen. It may happen then. It may happen 3 weeks later. Who knows? But we've got to be faithful if we want to see God do amazing things. We've got to let Him in so we can let Him out. Is this making sense today? All right. I'm going to pray. Gary, I'm going to let you do your thing. Come on back up. Today, as we close, if you just want to sit there and just ask God to do a new work in you and to fill you so that you're ready for this, then do that. If you need to come up here, you can always pray. You know, Dusty, Dana, and I will be up here to pray with you if there's other needs that are going on in your life today. You don't have to put things off. This can be a new thing, a new day, being prepared, being ready. Because the fact is, what do you have? What do you have to give is an important question. Let's pray. Father God, forgive us when we have not acknowledged who you are, what you've done for us. Lord, forgive us for taking advantage and just assuming far too many things about life. Forgive us for being afraid. Forgive us for being embarrassed when we come across people whose needs are so much greater than we can meet. Lord, we're often those people, we can't even meet our own needs. Lord, I pray that we would spend time with you and let you in so that whenever we are in the time and the place where you want those people to come across our paths, the Lord, we are easily ready to give them whatever you tell us we need to give them. And that, Lord, we would most importantly make sure that what we're giving them is you, because you can meet every need they have. Speak to us today as we close. I ask this in Jesus' name. Let me pray you out. Some of you have needs, and before you leave here, if you have a need, there's people that will pray with you. So don't leave with a need. Let's bow. Father God, you love us. You want to fill us. Lord, you want us to feel satisfied with your presence. And Lord, I'm praying that today as we go, that we would see your handprints, your fingerprints, your footprints all over our day for the rest of today and throughout our week. And that, Lord, we will see the divine appointments you have for us. And Lord, we will see you move and we will be able to give you glory, and they will too. In Jesus' name, amen.